Everybody got an envelope, needs one. Here you go. Hallelujah. Mighty is our God. Hallelujah. Let's pray and you can give. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you, Lord, for seed that we can sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father, and we place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God, that you'll multiply it, use it to expand your kingdom, and cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, praise, and honor in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory. Everybody's still awake. I know the ball games were late. Some of you even went to Canton to go to the game, you know. But that's all behind us now. Now we're going forward with God. Amen. Hallelujah. He is good. I'm gonna preach as I'm believing God. My voice will hold out. It's a little scratchy today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got your Bibles with you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Now, Jackie and Mike, am I going to have to separate you two? Okay. Well, I put one of you over here and one of you over there. Oh, no, no, no. Hallelujah. You got your Bibles. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy, page 269, if you got a Bible like mine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, as you're turning, in Israel, they have two calendars. They have a secular calendar that begins with the month of Tishri. That's in our September, October, that time frame. But then God also has a religious calendar, okay? God's calendar begins with the month. Trying to think of the name of that month. But anyway, it begins with Passover, okay? And God has these feasts of Passover. And how many of you know that Jesus taught in parables? And he used natural things, like a sower goes out and sows seed, okay? And he waits for the harvest, and some of it produces some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, right? And he uses the hard, stony ground to describe a hardened heart, right? And then the good soil is the soft soil that's been plowed. You know, that represents a good heart. So God has always used natural things to teach us spiritual truths. And that's the same way with his feast days. His feast days were things that the children of Israel physically took part in, such as Passover, right? Passover was a celebration of their ancestors being delivered out of the bondage of sin back in Egypt, right? But the spiritual application of that is that when you and I accept the true Passover lamb, Jesus, right? Now we are born again. We now have been delivered out of the slavery of sin into the kingdom of the Son of His love, right? So then there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of First Fruits, and unleavened bread, they never ate anything with yeast in it, yeast being a type of sin in the Bible. So for 7 days after Passover, the Jewish people would not eat any leaven. They would also clean any lint or any pieces of bread out of their drawers. I'm pretty sure that's where we get the concept of spring cleaning, okay, because Passover came in that season. And then there was first fruits, a feast of first fruits, where they brought the first of the barley harvest to God, and they waved it before the Lord as a tithe unto God. And that first fruits offering of the barley harvest guaranteed the rest of the harvest would be plenteous. We know that Paul refers to Jesus as our first fruits offering, right? He, being the first one resurrected from the dead, guarantees our resurrection someday. Now, I'm telling you now, somebody will shout about that. And then 50 days after Passover, you have the Feast of Shavuot, or the Feast of Pentecost, we call it, where God poured out his Spirit. In the natural, it was the wheat harvest. They brought the wheat harvest in, okay? But we also know that the Holy Spirit fell in the book of Acts, and the Bible says that there were 3,000 added to the church that day. Amen. So it was a harvest, only not of wheat, but of souls. Then in the fall, you have the period of Teshuvah, or repentance, leading up to the Feast of Trumpets. And then you had the 10 days of awe, where you're to repent and seek God. And then you have Yom Kippur, the Day of Judgment. Amen. And then you had an 8-day festival called Tabernacles. Okay. And so that happens in the fall feast happened in the fall, and the spring happened in the spring. But so what happens? What are we doing, or what was God doing with his people from the middle of October to late October until the end of March, 1st of April? There's no other feasts, right? But at the Feast of Tabernacles, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles in Israel, they begin to pray for rain. The early rain, and then in the spring there would be a latter rain. All right? Now, it's important to note that by the time Tabernacles was over, you know, they had come out of the dry season, and and the ground was parched and dry and dusty. So the early rain was a gentle rain. It was this rain here, Yore. There's several different names for rain in the Bible. It's Yore, rain. It comes from the same root word, Yara, which also is related to the word Torah, or teaching. Amen? So this idea of your rain means to teach. Glory to God. Amen? So, now, with that said, I want us to look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I want to tell you something. You really ought to read this whole chapter. I highlighted the whole thing this week because it pertains to America. It pertains to any nation that turns its back on God. Somebody say, amen or oh me. But that's not really my message today, so we'll save that for another time. I want you to see verse 1. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain. There's the word yore in Hebrew. My speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. So go back to verse 2. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. So the writer of Deuteronomy is comparing God's teaching to that light rain. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, with that said, I want us to turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah, I'm just trying to make my case here this morning. We may come back to Deuteronomy. Isaiah Isaiah, page 939. You got Bible like mine. 55, starting verse 6. If my notes are right, and sometimes they're not. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. How many know that just described a sinner who repents? Amen? All right? Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Again, here's the second verse that I've given you that describes rain as God's teaching. Amen? Or God's teaching is compared to rain. All right? That's going to be important here in a minute. Now, there's another word for rain, malkok, but it describes a hard rain. This is the latter rain. In Israel right now, they're coming into their rainy season, the yoreh, and it's a light rain. Why is it important to be a light rain now? Because the ground is dry and parched. So if they had hard rains right now, it would wash away a lot of the topsoil. How many know God knows exactly what you need when you need it? Amen? Glory. So God sending them the yoreh or the light rain now, because what it does, it doesn't wash away the topsoil, but what it does is it softens the soil and prepares the soil for plowing so that they can get their first planting in. Okay? Then comes the malkok or the hard rain. That doesn't come till around into February, early March. And God sends that rain in order to help the barley harvest ripen and be ready in a few weeks to be, harvested, right? We know at Passover, they harvest the barley at that time. But that this malkok, this hard rain, is also, they're getting ready to have a second planting. All right, so the ground will be ready for them to plow again, and then at the beginning of summer, they'll reap the wheat harvest. You with me? Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. They'll reap the wheat harvest, which is done around Pentecost. All right, now, what have you just heard me say? Let me show you something. The light rain. The light rain, I want to compare it to something spiritual. It's that when you hear the gospel, when you hear the good news, and that wooing, that tugging begins to go on in your heart, that Holy Spirit, that gentle wooing, that gentle tugging at your heart to bring you to the place that you make Jesus Lord and Savior. Amen? That's that first rain, that gentle rain, that yoreh. You're hearing the teaching. The Holy Spirit now begins to pull and draw you and woo you. Do you remember when God did that to you? You remember when you first heard the good news of the gospel and the Holy Spirit began to woo your heart and you made Jesus Lord? You turned. You actually returned to the one who made you. Amen? You remember how you felt that day? You were I felt so squeaky clean. I've also felt 10 feet tall. I'm not even close, okay? Not even when I used to have a pair of those disco shoes. And those red corduroy bell bottoms, You know, yeah. And that flowered shirt. Yeah. John Travolta never had nothing on me. No. He had a lot on me. Probably about a foot and a half taller. Anyway. It's that the gentle rain here that we're talking about at the end of Tabernacles. Now remember, as soon as Tabernacles is over, the children of Israel, the Jewish people, begin to pray for rain. They have specific prayers for rain. They're praying for rain, amen? And God's like, yeah, I'm going to send that rain, but there's another rain I want to send you. It's salvation. It's that wooing. It's that drawing of God's Spirit, amen? But then there comes a time when this Malkoth, this hard rain, comes in. Amen. And that hard rain, that helps prepare the wheat harvest that comes in the springtime or beginning of summer, the end of spring, beginning of summer. And that hard rain represents the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwelling in you. Amen. Now let me show you something. If you would, turn with me to Joel chapter 2 real quick. I'm not going to be long this morning. What's that mean? Maybe nothing, but usually I have Joel chapter 2, verse 23, I think. Usually I have a lot more notes than I actually preach out of, but I didn't make any extra ones, so you guys... you should be good. All right. Now, we're going to start in verse 18 to give us some context. We're thinking early rain, latter rain, later rain, okay? Now, Joel chapter 18 or chapter 2, verse 18, to get some context, and you know where I'm going. I've read this 1,000 times. It says, "Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive him away into a barren and desolate land with his face toward the eastern sea and his back toward the western sea. His stench will come up and his foul odor will rise because he has done monstrous things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully." Here it is again. "And he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." Now, I remember this early rain was to prepare the soil for planting. With me? The latter rain was to ripen the harvest, or ripen the barley for the harvest, and it caused the wheat harvest, which would come later, to begin to grow. All right? Let's keep reading. 24. "The threshing floor shall be full of wheat. The vat shall overflow with new wine and oil." How many of you know that's God's way of saying the land's going to prosper? Amen? "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, the chewing locusts, my great army which I sent among you." How many of you know that God will raise up an army as judgment? He done that in historically. And that's what he's talking about, okay? These armies that destroyed Israel. "You shall eat in plenty, be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame." And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Now, with that said, God says, after I restore you, all that these armies have destroyed, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Now, he describes it as the former rain and the latter rain, or the early and the later rain that I've already talked about, the Yoreh and the Malkuk. All right, now, stay with me. If you turn to Acts chapter 2, Peter quotes this passage. He quotes this passage of Scripture from Joel. In verse 16, chapter 2, verse 16, Peter says, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Now, what's he talking about? There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. People began to praise God in other tongues and magnify God. And people are watching this phenomenon. All right? People from all different languages are hearing the gospel. Amen? They're hearing these people praise God. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit, according to Peter, and what we're about to read now, is validation of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now look what Peter says. Verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Messiah to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Messiah, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at the right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord," or master, "and Messiah," which carries the idea of kingship. So Peter says this outpouring of the Holy Spirit has validated the fact that God has made Jesus master and king. Somebody say amen. Amen. That outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, before I go there, I want to go one other place. Let's go back to Deuteronomy, and we're going to go to Deuteronomy 11. How many know there are bigger nations than Israel? Jackie, when we saw the Jordan River, were you surprised at how small it was? Yeah. How what? Well, yeah. Smelled like most rivers with fish to me. Now, Israel's small. There's nothing special about Israel. Even its river is small. You know, the great Assyrian Empire, which later became our modern-day Iran and Iraq, they've got the great Euphrates River. Why didn't God pick them? Or how about why didn't God pick Egypt? Egypt's got the Nile River. They worship the Nile as a god. You know, why not pick that? Yeah, that's a big river. That's much bigger and more powerful than the Jordan. Why would God Why would God pick Israel with this small Jordan River? Let's pick it up here in verse 8. Deuteronomy 11, verse 8. Therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. It literally didn't flow with milk and honey. There was goat's milk and there was honey. But again, that's an idiom for it's a land that's prospering. Amen. Verse 10, for the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But in the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water from the rain of heaven. In Egypt, they dug ditches and they actually had a contraption that they turned, and it brought water into the irrigation ditches. So it was man who was watering the land in Egypt. God said, I want you in Israel. And understand this. Israel is not like Egypt, where they dug irrigation ditches and they watered their land from the Nile River. This land of Israel, it only gets its rain from heaven. Amen. This Israel is going, thus Israel is going to have to depend on God to bring the rain. In the Bible, you'll read where, you know, where, like in Elijah, when Israel was worshiping, the God Baal, and being misled by King Ahab and King Jezebel. How many of you know we got some of that going on today? We're following after other gods today. Because of that, what did God do? He stopped the rain. Right? He stopped the rain. Because in Israel, they know that if God doesn't send the rain, they're not going to have any food. They are totally dependent on God sending the rain. Listen, the Jordan River, there's 8 million people in Israel. Plus, you've got Jordan, and you've got some Syrians, and they've all tapped into that Jordan River. Okay, I don't know how many million people are in Syria and in Jordan. But if you notice, you know, just Google the Dead Sea and read about the Dead Sea and how far down it has went. It's start beginning to disappear because so much of there's so many people, they're drawing the water out of the Jordan for the people. So there's not as much water going into the Dead Sea now. So it's going down. All right? Now, with that said, Israel was dependent on God for rain. They were dependent on God for blessing. You know what? It hasn't changed. You and I, our life, we should be totally dependent on God. Amen? Now, with that said, we're almost done. I want you to turn with me to Hosea. Hosea, page 1149, got Bible like mine. 1149. I believe that God gave me something this week that is a theme that we'll carry into 2020, a message for 2020. 1149, chapter 6. Now, verse 1. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He has come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain in the earth. Now, Hallelujah. You're blessed this morning. Glory. Let's see. Who can help me today? You help me, Deb? You and Bernie? Hallelujah. For you ladies who help clean the church and put the decorations up, thank you so much. Hallelujah. I don't see anything in the wrong spot. They were worried that we put stuff in the wrong spot. I said, well, if you did, that's an easy fix. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. We have open communion here. That means we don't check your credentials at the door. What's her name? Debbie's all I need. Debbie Lee Force. Is he in Oklahoma also? How did you get to be a Buckeye? We're glad you did. I bet there was a handsome man involved. Hallelujah. Talk about trouble. I wasn't talking about you, Eli. I was talking about Debbie. Sure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Sunday school, we talked about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we talked about a mevaser. A mevaser was the messenger who brought the good news of victory in the battles. Amen. And so these elements of communion, the bread represents the body of Jesus. The juice represents the blood of Jesus. But in a way, these elements are kind of like the mevaser. They're a witness of the victory we have in Jesus. Amen. Because the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed and made whole. Amen. And on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it, and he said, this is my body given for you. And so this morning, and he instructed disciples, whenever they take this, to do it with thanksgiving. And Father, this morning, we thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given yourself for us. And in remembrance of you, with thanksgiving in our heart, in remembrance that you are still the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. You are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit. You are our high priest interceding for us right now. And you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body. hold your cup up. And on three, we're going to say L'chaim, because it means to life. And we know that the Bible clearly tells us life is in the blood. And the Lord Jesus poured out his life at Calvary for you and I. You ready? On three. One, two, three. L'chaim. We also know this cup represents the fourth cup in a Jewish betrothal ceremony that the young lady would drink, but the bridegroom would not. And that cup became a vow of her fidelity and faithfulness. So this cup is also a vow of our fidelity and faithfulness until our king returns, our bridegroom returns. Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in her heart, in remembrance of you, and as a vow of fidelity and faithfulness to you, we drink of this cup this morning. Hallelujah. Y'all be blessed. Amen. Thank you, everybody that helped with those food boxes yesterday, and everybody that helped with the jail ministry. I've got to talk to that lady that's over that jail ministry just for a little bit this morning. Okay. Amen. Let me bless you and see you Wednesday. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. I ask that you bless these, your people, spiritually, physically, financially, and emotionally. Father, help us as we move into 2020, Lord God, to return to you in prayer that you might pour out the former and the latter rain and bring in the harvest, Lord God. And for that, we give you glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen.